Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are still trying to create this foundation that's connecting the scale of liberty along with the concept of your rights, the Constitution, and what do you do when the Constitution is being violated, when that compact that the states went into and became the actual owners of, or the shareholders of the Constitution. Well, what do you do when that's getting violated? So we're going to get to that. But what I want to do is kind of create, I wouldn't want to say the mystical facts about the Constitution. There's no doubt. Nobody can challenge the concept that this Constitution was inspired by the divine hand of providence. And this isn't just a GRism. This isn't just, you know, my paradigm. And as a matter of fact, it gives me a great segue of what we're going to be covering tomorrow and what we're going to be covering on Thanksgiving. We're going to focus on truly, you know, the framers' paradigm on how they truly recognize the divine hand of providence. I'm sure that many people have been taught that they were a religious group, but I have no faith in what you've really been taught regarding the truth of the founding of this great republic. So anyway, let me just go into some of these obligatories. I'm still kind of struggling here. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that provides you the academic-based evidence and academic-based solutions on what we have to do. When I say academic, I'm pointing to what Madison and Jefferson did. I'm pointing to exactly what the framers talked about and said and how they defined the terms of this compact, this Constitution. So, not sure where you're at this point. Are you still clinging on? I mean, if Trump pulls out this win and, you know, it goes through the courts or however you connect the dots for a win, I'm telling you that it's just a matter of time. I told you that by 2024, the footprint that the progressives will have within society will be significant enough to overcome the fundamental democracy. When I say the fundamental democracy, I mean the fundamental democracy of the big states of the Union, Texas, California, Florida, New York, you know, these big states that actually have a high population that in some respects overshadows the rest of the republic. Now, if you understand that, okay, well, the republic is a representative form and each state has equal footing and so forth, well, you know, there's a movement afoot to try to undo that. And they're going to try to use popularity as well as democracy to dismantle this republic. And as soon as they can, you know, start ripping the Constitution, you better hope that enough of the red state houses and the state legislators understand where we are, what the heck is happening, and that they do not allow the Constitution to be set aside by the subordinate entity, the federal government. That Constitution is the state's, and it's a state's property. It's our property. Whenever they start taking away our liberties, they're taking away our property. That's one of the reasons why I try to put that into context for you, so that when you start reading Madison and how Madison basically says you not only have rights in your property, but you have property in your rights. You've got to start understanding that this is a lot more than just, you know, buying goods and having property and having cars. your ideas, your liberty, those things are equal property, if not your most precious property. Anyway, it's time for some pragmatism. If you're clinging on to the hope that the federal government is, you know, going to be saved by Donald Trump and that his, you know, his crack legal team is going to pull out this win, then okay, I get that. I just want you to understand that it's time to start being pragmatic, because the growth of the Bolshevik Revolution is overwhelming, and it will continue to be overwhelming because of the level of control that they have with these different apparatuses within our society. So this is why we need to start really looking at how we can save the Republic, how we can start using those red counties and the kind of light red states, or the even purple states, getting those red counties to actually start standing up and start standing up to tyranny and using the Constitution. I say this all the time. If we use the Constitution as our weapon, and I'm not talking about using it in the courthouse, I am actually talking about using your elected officials and getting them to assert their authority. The courts are not the ultimate authority. They're not. The people and the sovereigns are sovereigns at the county level and at the state level. They are the ultimate authority. And just remember that the court's jurisdiction is limited to those enumerated powers. The federal court is limited to the enumerated powers. So, in other words, if it's not a power that's enumerated to the federal government, such as health care, such as being able to create a law to take away your religious expression, they don't have a dog in this fight. You don't have to go to their court to settle your discrepancies, to address, to have a redress of your grievances. So it's time to get pragmatic. Let's just kind of move on, because I do want to go through some obligatories real quick. Thank you so much for listening. If you have time on Thanksgiving to listen to this show, you will not want to miss it. I know some people may be traveling tomorrow to get to their destination to be with their family and loved ones. It is very important to actually start separating today's paradigm and moving it towards the framers' paradigm. I want you to understand America under this Constitutional Republic's first Thanksgiving. We do this every year, so as this show has grown, there's a lot of people that have never heard or read George Washington's Proclamation for Thanksgiving in 1789, when we were in our very first session of Congress. This was the very first year of operating. They set the tone, and they separated the concept of the old times of giving thanks for feasting and so forth, and they sanctified it. If you understand the whole point of sanctification, you will understand what our Thanksgiving is supposed to be about. And I would ask and pray that you make more focus on the real purpose of Thanksgiving than you do on everything that's on the table that you're going to devour, eat, and, you know, perform a basic level of gluttony. Anyway, let me just move forward. As you know, what we're doing here is trying to help you get engaged. And one of the things we want to repeat again and again until I feel like I've said it enough, we're in a fight. We're in a fight for our liberties. We're in a fight to survive as a nation under this Constitution. And the person or the entity that we are fighting is the enemy. I refer to the enemy as Satan. Some people refer to the enemy as the globalist progressives. That's maybe because they don't recognize who is driving these decisions and so forth. Whomever you see as the enemy, they are getting us to fight them on their terms, going into their courts, fighting them in their venue. We must actually unite and unite on the Constitution and utilize the Constitution as our venue. This is why we're looking to pull the states together in a review process, in an auditing process, to hold the federal government accountable for all of its powers that it has not formally been delegated. Where did they obtain the right and or power to exercise this power and control over our curriculum known as education? Or where did they obtain and be delegated the power to be able to determine, you know, what energy or what environment, what they believe is environmental protections? These things are all unconstitutional. So if you want a good idea of what you can do, or if you're looking for an opportunity to get somebody else to tune in and say, oh, this show is going to be pretty good, I would invite anybody and everybody to listen to tomorrow's show and to Thursday's show. We're going to be talking and we're going to go through the Proclamation of Thanksgiving, the history of all of that. And I've never done a rerun on a holiday. Nine times out of ten, I've always used the, you know, the time, because we usually get a really high listenership, because most people realize that we're giving you, you know, first-time content. So with that, we want to actually get you to actually get the word out so other people can tune in, and we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so as we were just talking about, if you're looking for an opportunity to get somebody else to tune in and actually get them, let's just use an old 70s, 60s term, turned on to the truth and the message, tomorrow and Thursday would be good days. Anyway, as you know, this is a way we can grow the ranks and start getting people to understand what we're doing. So I promise we're going to deliver a great show, and it will hopefully challenge people's paradigms in getting people to start recognizing, you know, what what the heck are we doing? Why aren't we taking control of our Constitution? So with that, let me kind of get back to where we were. And we talked about the clauses. And so we were actually going down this path of how they had grown the government with these clauses. And I kind of alluded to the fact that we needed to have the state take back the controls over some of these bureaucracies, some of these governmental bureaucracies that the federal government has no control over. They have no enumerated power and constitutional standing to be able to exercise what the heck they're doing. And so with that, we kind of pointed out that, you know, there is a mechanism, and the best way to do this is as you create a, you know, as you move the Department of Transportation, you rip that away from the federal government. You know, I clearly believe that we need to start placing these seats or these commissions where they're going to discuss education in a different location. We don't want to centralize all of them. That makes it easy for lobbyists to be able to go in from one door and out to the other and try to control all these different governments, or I should say these bureaucracies or these strategic polities, because I believe that the Republic needs to look at these as strategic polities. What is a polity? Well, it's a level or form of government, and it's strategic for the basic operations and the necessities of the Republic, not the federal government and how it's going to control us so that we comply or get aligned with what the globalists are doing. So one of the things we also wanted to dive into today, and we just started, you know, covering the exclusive legislation. Actually, we did cover it. And to be very, very clear, exclusive legislation is only granted to Congress over the governing factors and the laws for the seat of government. Nowhere did it say that they could actually allow other governing bodies and abdicate their responsibility of legislation for that. For them to legitimately do that, they must surrender their exclusive legislation authority in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17. In other words, for the city council to exist in Washington, D.C., and for a mayor and all of these other positions of government and sovereignties, and what I mean by sovereignty, that means whoever has the ability to create law, like the city council and so forth, Congress actually has to change the Constitution, because the Constitution's clear. Only Congress has exclusive legislative power. They cannot abdicate that and hand that to a different polity. So with that, let's move into the guarantee clause, because if you understand the guarantee clause, as we were getting into this, we are identifying this thing called Republican form of government. So the guarantee clause, basically everybody understands that the United States guarantees to every state a Republican form of government. But what does that mean? Well, so if you understand American republicanism, American Republican form of government is recognizing the two sovereigns that are within our system. The first sovereign being we the people. The second sovereign being we the people of the sub-element of government who delegate and or empower sovereigns the ultimate decisions over certain things. Those sovereigns are our county commissioners at the lowest level and our state legislators. And clearly, when the framers were talking about the state makeup, they were very clear in talking about the state legislators as sovereigns as well as the county legislators. If you understand, a Republican form of government does not just mean a representative form of government in a generic sense. There are two very specific entities that must be represented: the people and the sovereigns of the sub-element of government at the level that we're at. So federal government, that would be the states, and at the states, that would be the counties. This is why every state created bicameral legislative bodies and granted, in the very beginning, they were granting sovereignty and representation to your county commissioners or supervisors, whatever you call the parish. I get it. It's not 100% throughout all of the states. But the thing about the guarantee clause that is completely missed is that second part. And this is where we started going into this. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them from invasion or against invasion. So this is why I wrote that article in the Unseen Hands or the Unseen Teeth. Unseen Hands. That's an A. Ralph Epperson book. The Unseen Teeth within the Constitution, which was the 14th Amendment. As we start looking at the 14th Amendment, we can start actually putting this into perspective. So let's just kind of walk down the constitutional process. You elect somebody to become a sovereign. They, at the very beginning of the, before they can do anything, they take a legal process, and it's documented as a legal function that has occurred. Every legislative person, every public servant raises their arm and takes an oath to support the Constitution. Now, there is no caveat there. Well, except those things that I'm opposed to. Well, except this part of the Constitution and that part of the Constitution. They take an unqualified, a full commitment in supporting every aspect of the Constitution. So when we look at the guarantee clause, and it clearly states that the United States shall guarantee to every state protection from an invasion, well, that means that they don't have a choice. They actually have to do something about that. They were very clear on this, that in case of any form of invasion, that they were to act and react and repel such invasion. As a matter of fact, let's kind of go back to Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15. And Congress shall have the power to provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, in other words, to enforce its laws, and to suppress insurrections. So they're obligated, if an invasion is occurring, they're supposed to be calling forth the militia and suppressing insurrections. So why is it that they're doing nothing of the kind? Well, because they don't believe that their oath is anything close to a legal process that they can be held accountable. This is why we have the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment basically lays it out in, it's Section 3, and I'm going to try to read this, but actually what I'm going to do is paraphrase, because it goes down this really, I don't want to say convoluted, but it's a very long, drawn-out identifiers of who's qualified and disqualified under this section. And so anybody that takes an oath, including Congress, including governors, including state legislators, anybody who is elected and must take an oath for their position that they must support the Constitution. And I mean, if I remember correctly, that's even bureaucrats. Even bureaucrats that are required, just like people in the military, as well as first responders and so forth, they're all obligated to take an oath to office. Well, that means that when there is an invasion of foreigners into American space, then they are obligated to repel such invasion. If they can't, at the county level, if the sheriff, the militia, or what have you, then they're to go to the federal government. And if it keeps on going, the federal government is supposed to arrest and stop this. Now, why is it that nobody's been doing this? And why is it that everybody's been ignoring this? Well, because everybody didn't realize that Section 3 in the 14th Amendment actually holds them accountable, because it says if you take an oath and you fail to actually live up to that oath, you violate that oath by not supporting the Constitution, either by acts of omission or commission, then you have disqualified yourself as a public servant, period. And you've got to go. So anybody who is violating with acts of commission or omission, and if you want commission, any of the governors that are out actually exercising what we call laws that actually take away your First Amendment rights of assembly, of religious expression, and so forth. Any governor that has done that to you has violated their oath of office by creating laws and or enforcing laws that take away those rights. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so let me do a quick go back on this exclusive legislation. It's very, very clear that this was designed to let Congress and the federal government have control over their own seat, over the land where they resided. This was debated very intensely during the ratification debates, because some people thought that maybe the seat of government should actually be within a state, that they would be subject to those states' laws. And so this was defined and delineated and broken out as the terms and definitions of the compact or the Constitution, that they were not to be able to be, they were not to be put under a state government, so that the states would be able to harass the federal government with taxes or what have you. It created full autonomy so that there couldn't be any other form of government in the district. And yet they have created one, and they're trying to create relevance to the irrelevant or unconstitutional, if you understand what I'm saying. So there has been no amendment to the Constitution that has extended, because a lot of people like to say, well, if Congress creates an act, then that becomes constitutional. No, because they point to the exclusive legislation, that they have this exclusive legislative power. Well, no, they don't. That's only over the seat of government and the territories that the federal government owns, operates, and controls. It's not considered a part of or within any state. A territory might be Guam today or Puerto Rico. They're not states. They're not to have representation. And Congress has full autonomy and control until they become states. So anyway, and the reason why this is important is because of this next concept. Because if you understand that the Guarantee Clause forces all politicians to stand up when illegal aliens are overcoming us. And when I say overcoming us, okay, maybe 100 isn't overcoming. But when we have tens of thousands every month entering into America, perverting and trying to engage in our political processes, we are being overrun by political combatants that are foreigners. This is an invasion, my friends, and you cannot define this any other way. Anybody, whether they be a judge, whether they be a public servant in any capacity, says that this is not an invasion. They are violating their oath of office and are disqualified from their position because they're not supporting the Constitution and they're supporting and giving aid and comfort to those people who are coming here illegally. It's pretty simple. You want to start getting rid of judges? Start educating people on the Constitution. Start getting your people in your counties educated. Because when we use the Constitution as our weapon, we will succeed. So the next thing that we're going to get into that was created under this government or under this Constitution and this innovative process was this concept of federal land and federal property. I mean, most people believe that the federal government can grab and take control of almost anything that they want. That is not true. And as a matter of fact, excuse me, Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 17, the exclusive legislation, this is where Congress's power, the federal government's power, is to extend to basically that seat of government, not to exceed 10 miles, 10 nautical miles, and I think it's 10 nautical miles. I don't think they had statute miles back then, but by cession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress becomes a seat of government of the United States, and to exercise the authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. Period. So, if you want to understand the type of property that the federal government can own and operate, it is only the property for military or national security purposes, or for, and they identify the national security for forts, magazines, arsenals, and then for dockyards for their Navy, as well as they do have the ability to have needful buildings in ports and ports of entry, whether that be airports or naval ports, or on the highways, on the borders, to make sure that they control the citizenry or foreigners from entering this country. They have that responsibility. So those buildings are needful buildings, but that's it. There's nowhere there does it say that they can occupy land for environmental purposes. There's no amendment to the Constitution to grant them the power to control reservations, whether that be for people, whether that be for plants, animal life, or whatever. They have no constitutional authority to possess any state land other than for military or national defense purposes and or needful buildings for ports of entry or what have you. That is it. So all of this land that they have confiscated and or unconstitutionally withheld from the states, well, guess what? That is all unconstitutional. And therefore, that must be corrected and rectified. All of these problems, by the way, are all rectified via republic review. As the states actually came into the Union, I want you to understand that they were to be equal footing. First off, in Article 1, Section 8, the Uniformity Clause requires that the federal government must treat each state uniformly in all things. And I'm going to go back to that because this actually happens to be the preamble that we talk about in the enumerated powers. To lay and collect taxes, imposts, and excises upon the states to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. In other words, any duty, any type of oppression, any type of assertion has to be equal. In other words, the fact that they were able to create national parks, well, there's no power listed here. Show me in the Constitution where the federal government could create national parks. Well, they can't do it. Well, that means that all the national parks, all the national forests, all of these national, you know, reserves for, you know, hopping flea ticks, grass, I don't care, grass, peat, whatever. There is no authority for them to do this. These are all usurpations that seemed and were justified in the premise of this is good, this is noble, this is what we need. No, I'm sorry. I am sorry. This is why, my friends, we need to understand with Republic Review, we do not, I want to be very clear, we do not allow the federal government, while we are doing Republic Review, to submit an amendment. No amendments are to be considered until the Constitution is fully complied to. Get the federal government into full compliance. It's time that the government sits in the corner with a little dunce hat facing the corner and has its full time out. It's time. If not, we will rue the day. So, moving back to this equal footing concept comes out of Article 4, basically allowing states to come into the Union. And it states, new states may be admitted by Congress into this Union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, nor any state be formed by the junction of two or more states without the consent of the legislators of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress. So is there anything there where it says that new states coming in, the federal government can put extra taxes, extra burdens, and remove their equal footing? No, there's no comment, there's no exclusion, there's no exception. All states are to be equally footed and have equal sovereignty and equal controls as every other state. So one of the first ways that they actually got out of following this equal footing concept was this thing called the Missouri Compromise. Well, the Missouri Compromise, as the South started recognizing, hey, there's no states that want to join the Union and be forced, or no state wants to become a slave state. So they started mandating and forcing all new states that joined the Union, they had to be slave states. Well, that actually flies in the face of the federal government because nowhere in that Article 4 that I just read, nowhere did it say, oh, well, but we can dictate that your state must become a slave state. Sorry, that power was not given to Congress. So when James Monroe, a framer, actually signed this law into effect, he, as a framer, violated his oath of office and he violated the Constitution with the Missouri Compromise. There is no caveat that allows the federal government to foreordain what type of state your state will become. You and every state has its own self-destiny as to what it chooses to become as a state. So with that, we're going into a break. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so why is this federal property, this equal footing, why is this so important? Well, so most people on the East Coast have no idea the shenanigans that were up and in play with the federal government by the mid-1800s. Because as the mid-1800s were basically steaming along, America was just, it had almost completely galvanized from coast to coast. There was this small parcels of land, I think in Arizona and maybe Texas or New Mexico, that had not been procured that creates today's continental United States. So, to be clear, the federal government recognized, hey, you know, there's no more land beyond California and Washington and Oregon. It looks like we're going to be out of a job here managing territories and land. And so shortly after that, this is where people started coming up with this noble concept of national parks and national reservations as resources that we need to maintain. Well, nowhere in the Constitution does the federal government have that power. Nowhere. But people started recognizing, oh, how nice it is out there in the Wyoming area with Yellowstone. And I believe it was actually footed by Ulysses S. Grant in trying to create and galvanize our first national park. The Department of Home was created in 1849. The Department of Home is now known as the Department of Interior. Why did they do this? Because they recognized by 1849, go look at the map of the United States for 1849. It was done. Almost every piece of land, almost every territory of all of these territories that they had basically procured, they were all identified as moving towards statehood. Colorado, Utah, California, and so forth. And even though there may have been you know, buying California and Texas a couple of times for Santa Ana because he needed more money. And he couldn't get the deal done or what have you. For the most part, we were done in procuring land and the management and the sunset of this organization that was managing the territories for Congress. Instead of preparing to close shop and go get jobs, these guys created a permanency by having the Congress declare this Department of Home. And so as states started coming into the union, the federal government started actually violating the Constitution by taking away land that was a part of the states. Nowhere in the Constitution were they granted this power, but they were able to steal state property. That's why when you hear, if you've ever heard of Western state rights, equal footing, and those types of things, and you don't live on the West Coast, you need to look and find out how much federal property or how much property of these states the federal government is continually consuming. And it's all unconstitutional. This is a huge problem. These are state resources. No wonder these states are desperate for the money from the federal government because they can't even use their own resources. And that's unconstitutional too. So just so you understand, when Republic Review initiates every single resource, or when a state actually comes online and says, we are going to initiate Republic Review, we are challenging the veracity of the federal government's control over this land. And in so doing, every piece of land, everything that the federal government has claim on, along with their budget and the strings that they're controlling your state legislators, everything like that is coming back to the states. It is no longer federal government control, no longer their property, and so forth. So in other words, all of a sudden, the states now have every resource that they can use to actually use for the benefit of their state. You've got minerals, you've got forests, you've got, water. It doesn't matter. Whatever resources, and the federal government is constraining those resources from you, you are now free to unleash your economy. Right now, the only reason why so many states in the central states, western, the flyover states, is because the federal government is constraining you with all these different regulations. They're not allowing you to grow on the land. They're doing all sorts of nefarious things that are all unconstitutional. So you have to understand that the whole point here of setting all of this up was to prove to you that the federal government has no right, has no constitutional standing in taking away any state property. Once a state becomes a state, all land on that state becomes state property. Now, I would say this. Now, people go, well, what do we do about Indian reservations? Well, we do what's logical. We give that land to the Indians. Now, that's their land. If they choose to sell it, they choose to do whatever they want, but they're now become citizens of that state. If they're not happy with that state, then they may want to move because underneath the guise of the Constitution, they can move. They can go anywhere. They can even leave the United States once they sell that land. But they have the ability to sell that land. Now, one of the things, this has to be very clear, is states have full sovereignty. In other words, all land is subject to the governance of the state. So if you actually have people that are selling property to foreigners, and those foreigners actually, let's just say they're Islamic, or what have you, and they create little territories and create their own laws and so forth, then they're violating the Constitution and that land needs to be confiscated because there's no such thing as autonomous state within a state of the United States. Those states are full sovereigns over their land. And so it's the same thing with the Chinese Communist Party purchasing land for whatever purpose and having shell companies or what have you. They cannot own, governments cannot own state property or property within states, whether they be buildings or what have you. So one of the things that Republic Review is going to have to shake out is how private entities will be able to actually own land, and they need to be very clear to delineate that the land and the property, buildings, structures, and what have you, is for the interest of that state, not for the interest of a foreign government or a foreign entity, which, as far as I'm concerned, will create probably a glut of property when China realizes that all the property that they're buying up, they won't have the ability to control it that they think they can. Because we absolutely do have the right to withhold property from foreigners. We cannot sell America out from underneath us. There's no constitutional standing to allow that to happen. And anybody and any politician that's actually been involved in allowing that to happen, you know, there's the gallows for them, because that's treason. And they don't have the authority in the Constitution to be able to do that. So they violated the Constitution. They committed treason. And, you know, if China or any of these foreign entities that think they own, you know, a piece of America, well, then we need to send them. If they want their pound of flesh, so we need to send them those individuals that are responsible for, you know, basically pulling these shenanigans or working with these states and committing fraud. This is the same thing with our debt and everything else. One final thing I think I might have time to go over is religious tests. So we're going to wrap up religious tests for today, and then we'll get into some of these other laws and other factors within the Constitution. But religious tests, to be very, very clear, every state wanted to have a religious test, and Madison did not create an amendment to do that. And as a matter of fact, the sentiments were beginning to grow that they did not want to have any standard religious test, because the bottom line is, once you create a religious test, well, whose religion, whose Bible, who is it that you are going to use? And there was enough of a spread of religious influence in America that they didn't know, there was no religion. The Anglicans were probably the closest. The Church of England was probably the closest to about 50%, but there was just no way that there was going to be a connection to the Church of England, because everybody looked at the England at this point in time as the, you know, the bad guys. So there's just no way that there was going to become a standard religious test. And this was great, because at that point in time, they thought that this was going to open up a lot of problems. However, in today's society, the evil, secular, godless politicians like Feinstein and the rest of them are using religious tests to actually try to create barriers for people to become public servants. And the Constitution is very, very clear in Article 6, Section 3, and this is what it states. But no religious test shall ever be required as qualification to any public office trust under the United States. And so, just to be clear, my friends, they can't, because you're Catholic, because you're Protestant, Mormon, it doesn't matter. They cannot use religious tests to keep you or even to shine any light. It's the same thing. A religious test is a religious test. They are illegal and unconstitutional. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And in our next episode, it will be the Thanksgiving of America.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.